Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Hello and welcome to week two of Summer Sports Week. I'm Ollie Slack and I'll keep you company for the next hour looking at a great weekend of sport locally and nationally in Cambridgeshire and around the UK. The weather isn't as very summery this week, not as nice as last week, but we've still got lots to talk about. Vicky Franks from Cambridge City Hockey Club, the skipper, will be in to chat to us today about all things Cambridge City hockey and as well a bronze medal for England in the Touch Rugby World Cup. So great news for them there. We'll also be talking Cambridge Baseball Club this hour. We've got a couple of guys from the local club coming in to chat all about their season so far, where they're hoping to finish in the baseball leagues across Cambridgeshire. And Cambridge City Ladies played their last match of the season today. What a season it's been, a league and cup double for them. They take on Bedford Ladies this afternoon. We'll be speaking to skipper Becca Fay about their match. They won 3-0 this afternoon, so another win. They've scored 94 goals this campaign. It's quite incredible. And also there's a bit of national sport going on today. England taking on Pakistan in the last one-day international of the five-match series before the World Cup selection on Tuesday. And of course the PGA Championship is well into the final round. Brooks Koepka looks like he's going to grab yet another major title. We'll keep you up to date on those as we go on. But let's talk Cambridge City hockey now, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Vicky Franks, the skipper for the ladies' side. Vicky, thanks for coming on and talking to us today.
You're welcome.
So before we talk Cambridge City hockey, actually, and review a pretty decent season for you, news broke over the last few weeks, actually, about yourself playing touch rugby, and not just touch rugby in Cambridgeshire. You've managed to make it into the England squad, and you've come back with a bronze medal as well from the World Cup. How does this all come about for yourself?
Yeah, so it was a few years ago. A friend that I played hockey with called Kelly D. James knew that I hated summer fitness and offered me touch as an alternative. She said, basically, come down, you get to play some games, have some fun, it's not boring fitness work. So I took it up purely as a summer fitness tool to help me with my hockey, and then discovered that actually it's a really fun sport and that I found I was quite good at it, and then started playing more and more and more, taking it slowly, more and more seriously, and then kind of it snowballed and turned into kind of going to a couple of European championships with England and then the World Cup.
Yeah, did you ever imagine that you would take it as seriously as you sort of ended up taking it with England and the World Cup when you first started?
No, absolutely not. I think for the first couple of years, I just went down the Cambridge Touch Association run a Wednesday night fun league in the summer. It's quite social. So I went down, I just played at that on a very, very casual basis. And then somebody said to me, oh, do you want to trial for the regional side? I was like, sure, why not? Went down, trialled for the regional side, ended up playing in the regional side at Nationals, and then a couple of years later ended up in an England squad, having been seen playing at Nationals, and then got selected to play.
Yeah, presumably there must be a lot of natural talent then to play touch rugby. If you sort of start it at an age that I guess older than most would if you take up the sports, there must be a lot of natural talent. Any similarities between hockey and touch rugby, if that makes sense?
There's not that many, if I'm honest. I think a general kind of spatial awareness and physical fitness helps, but now I've found it a really distinct different sport, which actually I quite like that they're not ridiculously similar. I've got friends that play kind of contact rugby and touch rugby, and then friends that play tag rugby and touch, and obviously those are really, really related sports, but I quite like a major difference.
And going into the World Cup then in Malaysia just a few weeks ago, how was that? I imagine probably your first experience at probably playing sport and really competitive sport abroad, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I've played sport quite casually abroad before, but never at this level, and never at the kind of the physicality and the level that we've had to play as the World Cup. So yeah, that we tried really hard to acclimatise before we went out, kind of training with excessive layers on and trying in some way to get ourselves used to playing in the heat, but there's nothing really that we could do to prepare us. Some of the team went down to a kind of a special chamber in London that could be set to the right heat and humidity to kind of really get the experience. But obviously for those of us that lived further away, it was too difficult to kind of get to while we were trying to do our normal lives as well.
Yeah, how was that? Did it really affect your performance, the humidity? Because I know when England went to go play in the World Cup in Brazil, they were really went there, I think, a few weeks before to try and practice and train at a real high humidity. It must have been impossible to try and catch your breath when you're flying at that sort of level of humidity.
Yeah, I mean, one of the main things was making sure we kept hydrated. Obviously, there's the danger that you can get really dehydrated and not necessarily realise. So England Touch were amazing with their medical team, that they were weighing us in and out of every game to kind of monitor our fluid loss and make sure that we were all kind of safe to play the next games. So yeah, the medical team really had our backs. And then we had to do our job of making sure we stayed hydrated and were sensible in terms of not staying out and watching lots of other games while we were in our rest time. But sometimes going back inside the kind of the air conditioned tent we had on site, sometimes we went all the way back to our team hotel. And waited there in the middle of the day rather than being outside in the heat when we didn't have to.
Yeah, it sounds sensible. And what's it like then meeting up with players across the country to represent England? Because imagine when you play hockey, you're playing with Cambridge City Ladies, you're playing with the same sort of people each week and you get used to seeing those familiar faces. But then when you meet up with an England squad in touch rugby, I imagine you're probably seeing them every couple of months.
Yeah. I mean, it helps that several of us have played together at local levels as well, so in regional or club sides. But actually, it's really nice playing with people you wouldn't normally play with and getting the experience of different views on the game and how it should be played and different moves that people play at different clubs. And you'll see somebody do something and say, oh, okay, I can learn from that as well. Whereas obviously sometimes when you're playing with the same people week in, week out, yes, you can learn from each other, but sometimes it's hard to get kind of fresh and new ideas in.
Yeah, exactly. And not many people can say this, but you are a World Cup bronze medal winner for England. So how does that sound? And I imagine the medal, like you tell me off air, is sort of sparkling, hanging up on the wall, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if somebody had said to me 5 or 6 years ago, by the way, you're going to go to a World Cup and win a bronze medal, I would have said absolutely no way that's going to happen. But yeah, it's an amazing experience. And obviously, it's one that, as you said, not many people have got to do. So it's a massive privilege that I've been able to do that. And I think the way that the Touch World Cup set up with all the different age group teams all playing in one tournament together is really nice, because it doesn't matter what age you've got to. I think there was in the men's divisions, there was an over 50s team. So you might say, oh, I'm 40, I'm too old to go and represent my country. But actually, there are kind of opportunities out there for every age.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I imagine you must have to try and now balance both rugby and hockey. It's probably nice that the seasons are potentially sort of aligned in a way. But in terms of hockey, that is your perhaps main priority. Is it still going forward with Cambridge City Ladies next season?
So last season, hockey very much had to take a back seat, and I missed quite a few games because of England training for Touch. Whereas before that season, hockey's always been my main priority. So yeah, next season I think it's priority turns back to hockey. And focus on, obviously I'm getting to an age now where there's not going to be that many more seasons I can play at the level I'm playing at now. So I kind of want to make the most of that while I can, and be involved in what feel like exciting times for Cambridge City.
Yeah, let's move on to Cambridge City then. Third in the Investec Conference East last season, and really only pipped the top two. He sort of stormed away with that, the sort of first two positions of the week, Hampstead and Westminster, and then Wimbledon, yourselves in third. A great start to the season, won your first three, and then a little stumbling block, really, so you only won in five. That, after making such a great start and trying to obviously push up the table, and then having a bit of a stumbling block, what was your role as skipper sort of saying to the ladies how to sort of move on and move away from that sort of not bad patch, but sort of a bit of like a stumbling block?
Yeah, I mean, we had a point, actually, it was a bit later on in the season where we'd had a really successful first half, and we had a few results in a row that weren't really how we wanted them to be. And we felt that we were just unlucky being pipped in those games. It was fundamentally something we needed to improve. And actually it came from our coaches, of Ross Hayward and then Helen Richardson-Walsh being assistant coach last year, that actually we sat down one training session and said, we're not going to go out on the pitch right now. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk about what's not working, what do we need to do to fix it? And initially I think the squad thought, oh, I'd rather be out on the field, like I feel I need to be on a pitch to improve things. But actually we talked a lot about the processes that our team were aiming to carry out and achieve. And then we went on from there and had a really excellent finish to the season. So that time in a changing room at Wolfhorns Road, wishing we were out on the field, actually really paid off and was a... That was the right thing to do. And it, I mean, it didn't really have to come from me. It came from our coaches that they recognised that was what we needed.
Yeah, and like you say, decent form after that, really. You only lost three more after that sort of dodgy patch in the middle, and two of those losses were against the top two. So we're in a really great run towards the end of the season. In terms of falling just short of that top two, those two sort of sides were the sort of standout in terms of there's 10 points from second to third place. What sort of separated you think yourselves from that sort of top two sides?
I think part of it was that there were a few results we had against some of the, I mean, they're not weak sides, but some of the weaker sides in our league that really we should have done better. And so it wasn't necessarily against those top teams that we struggled. It was that we dropped points where they weren't. I think we were the only team last season to beat Hampstead and Westminster. We didn't manage to beat them in the first half of the season. So I think we were largely competitive with those teams on match day. We just needed to be more consistent and more able to kind of put away those teams that we felt we should be beating.
Yeah, and in terms of next season, I believe there's a bit of a sort of shake-up in terms of what's going on with not just with yourself, but with the league system as well. There's a Division 1 system which Cambridge City ladies are going to be in. So I presume is that going to be the top sort of league for women's hockey?
No, so there's the Premier Division, which is the same last season and this, and that's being kept as it is. And then what's the second tier of that used to be three conferences that we were in, and now it's going to two Division 1s with a North and a South version, and then I think still three conferences. So yeah, our first priority this year was to make sure that we were in one of the Division 1s next year, and kind of we did that with absolute comfort. So yeah, we're still one away from that top division, but I think it's been done to try and bridge the gap that was quite a big gap between the Premier Division and the conferences in terms of the quality of play throughout. Okay. So I think it's one of the reasons that's been created is to try and bridge that gap a little bit and create a stronger division just below the Premier Division. So there's definitely going to be no easy games next year.
But in terms of getting yourself ready for it, you've had a bit, like I say, a bit of a shake up yourself. Ross Hayward, a man who's been charged for 8 years, I think, has now left. And of course, you know, someone we all know, where Helen Richardson Walsh is taking over. She was the assistant and now stepping up into the head coach role. What do you think she'll bring differently to what Ross has brought over the past 8 years?
I mean, Ross has done a really, really good job. When he arrived, the team was a bit kind of didn't really have a vision of where they wanted to go. Obviously, everybody would say, oh, we want to play National League, but there was never really a coherent plan of this is what we're going to do. And Ross has built a really, really good foundation. He's put a lot of faith in the younger members of the club, and he's really built an ethos. In terms of how it's going to change under Helen, I think obviously she worked closely with Ross last season, so she's kind of aware of exactly the strategies that we used and how Ross wanted us to play. And I think essentially what she'll do is she'll take the most successful aspects of what we have been doing and add to them. I don't know exactly what route that will be. I'm excited to see it. I'm sure she'll bring some new ideas in. But equally, I'm sure she's not going to completely turn everything on its head. I think she recognises there are some really good qualities in the team and in what we've been doing for the past few years. So I'm sure she'll maintain those.
And because she's played at the club for two seasons as well, she's been the assistant head coach, she knows the club inside out. So there's never really going to be that sort of down period where a new coach has to come in and sort of settle and get used to the surroundings. She knows what she's getting herself into, and that's going to hopefully ease that transition and make it as seamless as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as soon as kind of Ross told the team that he was stepping down and that he wouldn't be coaching us next season, I think nearly everybody was straight away thinking, we want Helen to be our coach next year. And we're really, really glad that's come about. As you said, she's got all the benefits of knowing the team and knowing the setup at the club, that we can really hit the ground running. Normally there's that little bit of uncertainty and a bit of time required when a new coach comes in, but that shouldn't be an issue with Helen.
Yeah, hopefully not. And due to her pedigree as well, I imagine her role as head coach, as well as sort of leading the side and trying to get them where you want to be, which I imagine is in that Premier Division, she's naturally going to make players better because of her pedigree with, you know, in the Olympics with Great Britain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when she arrived as a player 2 years ago, you could see everybody wanted to raise their game. Partly because you take inspiration from her, what she does on the field, and you want to play as well as you can so that you can support her and you can make the team as good as possible. But also just the inspiring everybody around her. And I'm sure the juniors at our club are inspired by having her there, and they come down and they act as ball patrol for our home games. And it must be exciting for them to know that there's a gold medal winning Olympian on the field. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that will kind of filter down through the junior sections of the club
certainly
as well.
Certainly so. And in terms of next season's aims, sort of the short term, is the aim now to get the club to that next level, challenging at the top in terms of Premier Division, or because you said, because there's a bit of sort of uncertainty, I guess, in terms of probably perhaps what the level will be in that Division One league. It might just be consolidate yourself first.
Yeah, I mean, lots of the teams are ones that we know well and we've played. Like, obviously, several of the teams that we've been playing this season are in that division. There's other teams that we've played in the last few years. So I don't think there will be a massive amount of unknown. The club definitely has aspirations for us to play in the Premier Division. So whether that's next season, the season after, but there are definitely plans of how we can get our team from being just shy of promotion to making that promotion place.
Mm. Yeah, well, hopefully next season, or if not in the next couple of seasons, you can make that jump to Premier Division. Vicky, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking about Cambridge City and your touch rugby as well, and securing that bronze medal for England. It's been great to talk to you, and we'll get you back on, I'm sure, later on throughout the summer next season as well to catch up how Cambridge City ladies and your touch rugby career is getting on as well.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Summer Sports Week live on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack, and we've got about 35 minutes left of today's show. Let's update on the cricket now. And England are cruising to victory once again. Pakistan 286 for 9 with just over 4 overs left. They require 66 runs to win. So that's going to be a 4-0 series win for England. Perfect preparation for England ahead of the World Cup. Not so much for Pakistan. But of course, that all-important decision in terms of the World Cup squad will be made on Tuesday. We're talking about it with myself and Callum Guest on From the Pavilion on Wednesday evening, so make sure you tune into that. We'll update you on the golf as well a little later on, but it's time to move to from one bat and ball sport, if that's correct, to another, and talk baseball now. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Dan and Josh from Cambridge Baseball Club. Thanks for coming in, guys.
No worries.
Nice to be.
So yeah, I believe Josh has been given the delegation of explaining baseball. We had Cambridgeshire Cats, the American football team, on last week and did a similar sort of job of explaining what it's all about. So if you please would, Josh, I say brief, you can take as long as you like if you want, but of what baseball is really for the listeners.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the easiest, closest sport really for that most people would have played, or be people might have played rounders, or obviously cricket with it being a bat and ball sport, but essentially just, yeah, throwing the ball down and hitting it with a bat and getting around the bases is a very simplistic explanation, I think, of how it is.
Yeah, and in terms of the structure of the sort of system in Britain, how is it sort of set up in terms of the leagues in Britain?
So you take the league system goes from, you've got the National Baseball League at the very top under the British Baseball Federation, which is the federation we play with, and then it goes down for AAA, Double A and Single A leagues. Mm-hmm. And we have in Cambridge, we've got two teams in the Single A level, which is the Royals and the Lancers, and then we have the Monarchs that play Double A.
Mm. And in terms of that top National Baseball League, obviously looking at it now, there's four sides in it. Is that the pinnacle of the game in Britain?
In Britain, yeah. There's no real higher than that league, I don't think. Mm. There are some other leagues around the country, because there's a Northern League, a South West League, I think. But I think the best players are in that NBL NBL league.
Yeah, and I do apologise because you just sort of sprinted over from your game this afternoon. We sort of did the similar torture to Cambridge Cats last week, thinking Sunday evening would be a lovely slot for people to come in, but it's appearing not. But at least we're putting you through your paces. Let's talk about today then, and in fact, the Monarchs we'll start with. Overall, you know, the top side really for the Cambridge Baseball Club. The aims going into the season, as you said, you know, sitting in that double A league, double A B league. What sort of the aims going forward this season? Where do you want to be? How far away, you know, do you want to be from really in terms of getting up the divisions?
I think the Monarchs themselves are our more competitive side, so they are always looking to try and make it into the playoffs and go on to the Nationals as best as they can do. It's been difficult for them. I know they're a little bit more of a transient side in that they attract players from the bases around Cambridge here and things like that. So they do sort of lose players each year and then gain new players each year, and it is a little bit more difficult for them to remain competitive, but they tend to have a very good side each year, regardless of who it's built up from. But yeah, their aim is always to try and get into the playoffs there.
Mm-hmm. Where's your main sort of pool of players come from? Is it genuinely in Cambridge, or how far do people travel far from to get to play for Cambridge?
We go sort of, I suppose, Huntingdon. We've got a few people that do travel up from London. For our single A teams, it's very much Cambridgeshire and the surrounding counties. We are the pretty much the only team in this sort of general area. I think the closest one to us is Northants or Milton Keynes. So yeah, if people do want to play baseball and give it a try, then we are sort of in a perfect position for a lot of places.
Mm. And in terms of your record so far, played 7, won 3, lost 4, but you have an update for us on today's game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's 2 more losses.
Yeah.
So played 9, won 3, lost 6, if my maths is correct. So in terms of where you want to get to this, in, like, say, making the playoffs, in terms of the start of the season, probably you'd say perhaps you'd probably like, obviously, a few more wins to be up there in terms of season. But what's your sort of mid or so far the assessment of the season?
I think it's a tricky league that we're in this year. There's definitely one or two sides which are they're in our level, but they're not, they're playing at a higher level than where we are. So I mean, I think our aim, I think where we've discussed it, is probably if we could aim for sort of third or fourth, I think we'd be quite happy with that based on those top couple of teams that we know are probably that little step ahead of us.
Mm. Our two single A sides, the Royals and the Lancers, they are two development sides. Mm. The Royals have been together since last year for the most part, and when we started last year, there was myself and Josh and two or three others that had more than a year's experience. Mm. So everyone else was brand new. We've added a couple of brand new players this year, and we're still just learning, to be honest. Mm. Most everyone's learning, and the Lancers are 90% brand new. Mm. Brand new to the sport. Maybe have played cricket or other sports around, but to baseball, a lot of them have knowledge, but they are new to the actual game.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those sort of those two sides, the Royals and the Lancers, what is it like in terms of the people you get? Obviously, you want to encourage new players, but equally, you want the team to be competitive so people don't get hacked off that, you know, they're losing and then they sort of drop out again. It's because that real balance, isn't there?
We've kind of looked at it for our two single A sides that we're not too worried about the competitive side of it overall. It was always going to be a learning team, a development team, and now with the Lancers, they are also the same. So it's always been more about everyone enjoying it and learning with the aim to move up and eventually just push up and have another team in AA. Mm-hmm. And we'll get there eventually, I'm sure. It's just people are learning and developing every week.
Yeah, we definitely strive to have at least a couple of players on each team that are a bit more experienced, just to essentially, because every game is then a learning process for everyone else, and you can have someone explain each
nurture them
time
through the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I say, it's always difficult, I guess, when I wouldn't say like, sort of trying to find players to play for you, but equally, those two sides provide the first team, the Monarchs, with an opportunity. If you do find a gem and they can sort of learn their trade in that, they can then sort of make the step up. It's a sort of great structure to have.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always the ability to move as and when is needed for like between the teams. So if we find someone who's shows a real aptitude for it and is able to move up and wants to, there's always space to sort of go up and give it a go at the AA level.
Mm. Yeah, and both in action again today. So the Roars were against Northants Centurions and the Lancers against Birmingham Bandits. Do we know how those guys get on?
I think the Lancers might have lost.
Lancers lost. The Birmingham Bandits are going to be one of those teams that are very much up at the top. Mm. They are a very, very good side. We played them a few weeks ago and we did hear before we came here that they had lost the two games, but they were ridiculously close games. done unbelievably well today, to be honest.
Yeah, and in terms of looking at the whole division, there seems to be lots of sides from London as well. Is that sort of the capital of baseball in Britain?
Yeah, I mean, I think the especially for the big teams, those top National Baseball League teams, it's definitely very much a sort of London and South bias. I think or just more strength there. I think just because I think maybe where it's easy to get players and easier. The bigger clubs are probably Hearts, London. Just where they've got more, I think, a more bigger pool of players to get from. But I mean, obviously, we've got our central because down at our level, it's more of a central division because it's split between central and south. Mm. So we can sort of like we have more local sort of teams to play against.
Yeah, and then in terms of the sport as a whole, how is it sort of coping at the minute? Because we know lots of sports all throughout the country are struggling at grassroots level, obviously in terms of funding, but in trying to get participation as well. How is baseball in terms of Britain doing as a whole at the minute?
Well, this year we've gained an extra team. We only had two teams last year. We've gained a whole new single A side. Birmingham have not necessarily gained a side, but they moved one team down from the NBL and created a new single A side as well. So on our end of it, and where we play in Central, the participation seems really good. I mean, it's slightly more of a struggle for us this year having three teams rather than two, whereas last year we had a ridiculous amount of players for each team. This year it's been a lot more difficult, but we're still getting very good numbers every week, so it looks like it's going from strength to strength, really. Mm. I think people are actually beginning to realise we exist, which is quite nice. That's been the biggest thing from most people who found us, is that they don't actually know Cambridge has got a team. Mm. So it's trying to get our name out there so people actually come and give it a go.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to massively help with... We've got, obviously, the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees coming to play in London this summer, at the end of June, which will obviously put it on the map a bit. And with baseball being in the Olympics next year in Tokyo, it's just going to hopefully get us on the radar much more with people, and then again if people can obviously find out about us and come down, they can sort of give it a go.
Yeah, we'll come on to the Olympics in just a bit. And in terms of you've talked a bit about the structure and you're looking going forward in terms of the number of teams you've got, in terms of the people in those sides, are you specifically looking at trying to get young kids involved? Because obviously we know lots of sports are trying to get kids from the age to get through, and even throughout all sports, for example cricket, they get decent numbers at say 9 or 8, but then there's dropouts at 17. Is there particular problems with youngsters in baseball?
There are. I mean, not a lot of the teams in our division have youth teams. I think Northants do. I'm not sure about Birmingham or any of the others. We would love to do it. We've made it, sort of taken little explorations into doing it, and had taster sessions and things like that, and had good turnouts and good feedback. It's just finding the ideal person who's happy to run it as such, and we're always looking to find that person. We've got a couple of guys who are keen. It's just the time commitment and things like that. But we are very much hoping to have a youth side set up. It's just getting it going, basically.
Yeah, I guess the beauty of it being a summer sport as well is that you perhaps got less competition with the other sports, the likes of football and rugby, that are so popular in Cambridge. And Cambridge, there's so much going on. If you get teams in Cambridge, you're doing well, whatever sport it is. And in terms of baseball in Britain, we see most of baseball on our TVs and lots of BT Sport, ESPN, on the American game. Is there much coverage of the British game going around at the minute on TV?
I think not. The main bit was last year. They did the playoffs live streamed on YouTube. All of the BBF playoffs were live streamed. I don't know if they did the semi-finals or just the finals, but they certainly did the final games. Yeah. It would be great to see more of it. Like, we do our own sort of highlights thing on our YouTube channel. I'm not aware that a lot of other teams do anything like that, but it would be great if it was shown. It's just, again, it's just whether people want to take up the option and give it a go, really.
Yeah, and in terms of then, like you mentioned, the Olympics and trying to get know, the sport sort of seen by more people. The fact having it on services that are free, so free to air TV would be great. But like I say, you put it on YouTube and it's live streamed as well. Great for the world to see. You mentioned as well about America and sort of teams coming over to play in the UK. Do you think that's where the game could really sort of harness a partnership between the American game and the UK? Because we see in American football, the sort of stadiums now that facilitate American football and teams come over and play in the UK. Do you think there's an opportunity perhaps for, I don't know, one of the sides in the National League of the base in the UK to go and play a side in the American League or vice versa? Do you think there's room for collaboration there?
I think it's a tricky one at the moment. I think it's obviously having the teams come over from America is brilliant. I mean, having obviously they've got the Red Sox and Yankees this summer, and then I know they've got another game now planned for next year, I believe, between the St. Louis Cardinals and Chicago Cubs. But it's, I think the levels of baseball to our NBL to the Major League Baseball in America is, it's a step, it's a big step. I mean, the quality that it, there is a lot higher. I'd like to think that there it could take off here like the NFL has, which has got a massive popularity from all the games they've had here. And I know there's lots of talk about a possible UK franchise, which could possibly be the way they go, maybe with something with baseball eventually. Mm. But I think we're definitely in the early stages of it being sort of brought over, I think.
Mm. And let's talk about the Olympics then. That's massive, isn't it, I think, for the sport. You know, loads of sports now are trying to get their foot in the door in terms of the Olympics. You know, snooker have tried it. I think cricket have tried it as well. Haven't quite worked out recently, but baseball has. It's going to be in Tokyo. Perhaps because Japan are the number one ranked side in the world. Yeah,
I think
might have something to do with it. But that's massive news for the sport, isn't it? It's brilliant.
Oh, absolutely. It's brilliant because it's going to get... that's going to get baseball on television for people to see. You know, because obviously people tune into the Olympics no matter what the sports, I think. And it's going to be brilliant. I think it's going to be so good to see that and have it on our TV sort of easier. Yeah. And it's really, really good.
Mm, and... I mean, GB, I checked the world rankings, ranked 38th.
Yeah.
So, I guess, obviously, if they do miraculously come home with a medal, then obviously that boosts the profile even more. But just having it on free-to-air TV, mm-hmm. you see the influx of participation in sport from, even specifically when London 2012 was going on, but even since from Rio, from just people getting interested in seeing sports they've never thought they could before. And there's a real opportunity now to hopefully deal with baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously we as a club would love to tap into that, you know, because people are going to see it. And if we can, alongside that, get people knowledge that we're here, hopefully people will see the joys of the sport and want to come and sort of get involved.
Yeah, and if people do want to get involved and they do want to start playing baseball, they've been inspired by our conversation today. how do they get in touch?
If you have a look on, we're on Twitter, so it's Cam's Beeble, if I remember correctly, and then we're also on Facebook, which is just Cambridge Baseball Club.
Cool.
Other than that, I don't think the website is up and running. I might be wrong about that, but those are our two best avenues at the moment.
Yeah, so we'll tweet, obviously, after the show today, and the podcast will be out as well with all links to Cambridge Baseball's Twitter and Facebook pages, so make sure you get on that if you want to participate. I'm sure they're very much welcome.
Absolutely, always want new players.
We train every Thursday, Coldham's Common, 6 o'clock onwards. Just come down, join us. We'll have spare equipment and everything. Just come and get involved.
And what's Coldham's Common like as a home for baseball?
Yeah, it's not bad actually.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah,
it really is. It's been good.
Yeah. So. It must be nice as well playing in a city like Cambridge and you know, some of the parks or playing in sort of places like Coldham's Common is sort of quite unique and quirky.
Yeah. Well, it's been nice as well. The council have given us a second field this year, so we've got our main diamond, which is all properly kitted out with a mound and everything, and then we've got the second diamond, which we use when two teams are at home, and it's been perfect, to be honest.
Excellent. Well, great to hear that the club is definitely getting the facilities from the council, and also on the rise, hopefully, in the league as well. But thanks for coming on, Dan and Josh, and we'll speak to you, I'm sure, later on in the summer and all throughout our programmes here on Summer Sports Week, and keeping our listeners on, letting them know how you're getting on and keeping them up to date.
Brilliant. Thanks
a lot.
Cheers.
Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wizpark, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wizpark.com.
You're welcome back to Summer Sports Week, live on Cambridge 105 Radio. Update you on the cricket. It is done and dusted. England have won by 54 runs against Pakistan. All out for 297 after England set 351 in their first innings. Let's just quickly run through the scorecard then. Who got the wickets for England after... Oh, let's go through the batting first, in case you missed that. Who got the top score? Joe Root got 84 before being bowled by Hasnain and then caught by Asif Ali. Morgan chipped in with 76 and then contributions from Butler with 34 and Stokes 21. And then a very good knock from Tom Curran at the end. 29 not out of 15 balls. Boosted England's total up to 350. And then Pakistan, well, got off to the worst possible start. They were 6 for 3 after 2.6 overs. After 3 overs then, Chris Wokes picking up all 3 wickets. And then they did recover 140-odd partnership in there as well between Safraz and Babar as well. That got up to 152 for 4, but then the wickets kept on tumbling as well. So all out for 297. Chris Wokes picking up a 5 for, done his chances no harm in the England World Cup squad, which gets announced on Tuesday. In terms of the golf, Brooks Koepka is not started his fourth round yet, but he has a 7-shot lead, the PGA Championship on the Beth Page State Park. He's 12 under, and next in line is Dustin Johnson and Luke List, Harold Varner, and all 5 under as well. The closest Brit is Matt Wallace, 4 under, who is in 6th place. Brooke Koepka looks certain, though, to claim another major title. Right, let's move on now and talk Cambridge City Ladies. They're in action this afternoon against Bedford Ladies, their final league match of the season. I'm delighted to say the skipper, Becca Fay, joins me on the phone. Thanks for coming on, Becca.
Hi, Ollie. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. A 3-0 win this afternoon. So, great way to end what has been a brilliant season, Becca.
Yeah, very much so. I think it's sort of almost a little bit of relief in a way, because the season and the theatre sort of dragged on a little bit, having won the league back in March and then the League Cup sort of last week. I think we're all just ready for a break now. So, yeah, definitely a very nice way to finish the season unbeaten.
Yeah, and boosting your goals for tally up to 94, which is absolutely remarkable, really. It's an incredible stat.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's probably a slight bit of disappointment, because having won the league back in March, we did then get set the target of hitting 100 goals. Obviously, we're just shy of that. But I think we'll take 94. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's a very harsh target by Tim, I have to say. But you must be pleased as well in terms of defensively, another clean sheet today. And I imagine a stat you're probably most proud of as well, just the 18 goals conceded this campaign.
Yeah, definitely. I think we are a bit tough on ourselves, and we probably would have liked to concede a few less, but I think that's actually the best defensive record in the league. So again, we can't complain at that.
No, without doubt, especially you play the 22 games, and you need to concede 18 goals is remarkable. What do you think that defensive unit's been so strong, Becca? What do you think's been key to that, you know, keeping so many clean sheets and reducing the goals conceded down to only 18?
That's a tough question, that one. I think early on in the season, we probably conceded more goals than what we'd hoped. I think as the squad sort of gelled together more, it's definitely brought more clean sheets with it. We've had a couple of younger girls slot into sort of wider like right back. One of the under-16s has come into that position. So probably a bit of adjustment. But then the rest of the squad's been quite similar throughout the season. So, yeah, just sort of form in that consistency.
And let's talk a bit about the cup win last week then. A bit of a scare, but eventually came through and won it on penalties and, claiming that League and Cup double.
Yeah, I think we'd had sort of almost a month off before the Cup game last week. So I think to say we weren't quite sharp enough, or sharp as what we had been, is fair. I mean, we went 2-0 down in the first 5 minutes, so something definitely had to change pretty quick. But yeah, I'm proud of the girls, obviously, to come back. It's 2-1 at half-time, and then we managed to equalise. Hannah Bodley, who's actually an ex-Bedford player, with the equaliser, and then took them to extra time and penalties. I mean, it's a harsh way to lose a cup final. But I think the worthy team won in the end.
Yeah, and like you say, a bizarre circumstance in the fact that you did have so long to wait until the match. Was it a real test of not only your fitness, but also, I guess, your mentality and sort of your concentration of being away from the pitch and playing a match for that long?
Yeah, definitely. I think we continued to train in between in that month, but you can't get like your match tempo without playing games. So it was definitely hard. I think we probably did go into that game not complacent, but maybe sort of a bit underestimated of just how hard it was going to be for us, having not played in so long. So yeah, definitely had an impact.
And the whole club itself is having a great success too. Under-16s, League Cup double, the under-11s, under-12s have won cups too recently. So it's been a brilliant season for the club as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's been success in every age group right the way through. And it's just so good to see some of the younger girls then progressing up into the development side and then the first team as well. The development side have had a cracking season as well. They've done the treble, so one better than the first team. But yeah, success throughout.
Yeah, and obviously the bread and butter is the league and promotion. So going into next season, Becca, just finally, what really is the aim? Obviously, you got a chance to carry on that momentum from this season, but is it to sort of consolidate in the league above, or obviously you've got some nice tasty fixtures against Cambridge United as well too?
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be naive of us to sort of underestimate that league. We have competed against teams such as like Leighton Orient and United in like cup fixtures this season. But it will be tough to sort of maintain and compete at that level week in, week out. So, yeah, it will be a challenge, but I think it's one that we're ready for.
Becca, thanks for coming on chatting to us. A brilliant season. Congratulations on both the league and cup and leading the side so well.
Cool. Thank you very much, Ollie.
Cheers, Becca. Becca Fay there, Cambridge City Ladies skipper, talking to us a bit about today's 3-0 victory over Bedford Ladies, their last of the season. Incredible record of scored 94 goals and only conceded 18. Remarkable. But they have won the league and, of course, they won the cup last week as well. So brilliant double for them. Right, we are going to talk Cambridgeshire Cats American football. Chris, you came on last week. He's going to update us on how they got on this afternoon against Wembley Stallions just after this short break. Welcome back to Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio. Got about, well, very, to about 5 or 7 or so minutes left of today's show. And we're going to try and talk American football now and see if Chris, you came on last week's show, Chris Fox, can talk to us about the Cambridgeshire Cats this afternoon. He has joined us on the line now. They were taking on Wembley Stallions. So, Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, nice to speak to you.
Yeah, Chris, great to have you back on the show. So, another victory for you guys today. 21-7 victory over the Stallions. You must be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, we are. We're not so happy with our third quarter performance. We took the foot off the gas a little bit, but brought it back in the fourth.
Yeah, so you know, a great record now of 5-0. So, 5 wins and no losses. It must be really pleased with how the sort of season's panning out.
Yeah, it's exactly as we planned, still undefeated. You know, as we said last week, where we missed out on playoffs quite closely, this year we've decided if we just win all of our games, there's no way we can not make playoffs.
Yeah, and obviously after such a great start in today's match, 14-0 up, and then you said a bit disappointed to obviously concede the 7 points and take it to 14-7, but then kicking on again just shows that sort of strong mentality you have within the group.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, this was quite an important game for us. It was the 1 year anniversary of the passing of one of our players. So we had like a minute silence before the game for Steemac.
Yeah, that must be obviously a difficult match to play in, Chris. But obviously, you know, absolutely done and proud with the result and how you're playing this season, no doubt.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah, so in terms of going forward next week then, Chris, you've got, you know, London Hornets, not next week, you've got a bit of a gap actually, a bit of a break, a couple week break to London Hornets. So is that just sort of get back to training and keep the sort of fitness up until that match?
Yeah, exactly. Try and get some of the wrinkles ironed out. So it's good to get back to training. We like to think that we are the hardest team that we're going to play, and that steel sharpens steel. So we go in with that mentality and like really give it all we've got.
Mm. And in terms of London Hornets, give us a bit of a background on what they're like as a side, and how you think they'll fare against yourselves in a couple of weeks.
The London Hornets are a extremely athletic team. We've had a lot of really close games against them in the past. They've beaten us, we've beaten them. We've had some absolutely heartbreaking losses to them, like 90-yard kick returned for a touchdown to win in the final second. that was absolutely devastating, but they're a really well-drilled side, and we look forward to facing them on the field.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, and we'll look forward to hearing how you get on as well, Chris. Thanks for coming on the show once again, Chris, and congratulations on another win, 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Chris. Chris Fox there, Cambridgeshire Cats. They won once again this afternoon in great form. As he said, 5 wins and no losses so far. They take on the London Hornets in a couple of weeks' time. We'll let you know how they get on. So, let's wrap up today's show then. Just update you on the rest of the sport going across around the country and really the world, in fact, because I said earlier, England have completed a 4-0 series win over Pakistan. They won by 54 runs this afternoon at Headingley. Chris Wokes taking a fifer. It's 4-0 in the series. Of course, the first match was rained off, so a whitewash for them. The US PGA Championship final round, it's almost underway. Brooks Koepka is getting his last round underway at 19:35 British Summer Time. He has a 7-shot lead. He's 12 under and looks surely set to retain his PGA Championship title. Just a quick word of what's coming up from the sport front on Cambridge 105 Radio over the next few days. On Wednesday, From the Pavilion continues its second show of the season. Myself and Callum Guest will be in the studio. And of course, Summer Sports Week again to next Sunday, same time, and we will be covering Cambridgeshire's T20 match against Norfolk at Sawston next Sunday, 11 o'clock, live here on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'll see you on Wednesday evening. Goodbye. Cambridge 105.